to be a madam. I want to be one of the girls. I know I'm not pretty, I know I'm not cute, but I'd like to shake my heels in a house of ill repute. I don't want to be a madam. I want to be one of the girls. I was always kind of lazy. I tire easily, it is said. A madam is on her feet all night, but the girls can go to bed. A madam is like an actress. She's through before she starts. No matter how well she auditions, it's the girls that gets the part. I don't want to be a madam. I want to be one of the girls. I will take Elvis Presley. We know he's not chaste, but his sideburns tickles when his motorcycle's raced. I don't want to be a madam. I want to be one of the girls. Now, I don't want to be a madam. I just want to be one of the girls called Ray. The madams carry the dough to the bank, but it's the girls that sock it away. So don't you call me madam, and don't you call me sister. And after the hospital bill I got, don't you dare to call me mister. I don't want to be a madam. I want to be one of the girls. I know I'm no beauty. I do my work well, and I don't give green stamps to the merchandise I sell. I don't want to be a madam. I want to be one of the girls. Oh, yeah. Let me be one of those.
This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and welcome to a very special show. I'm calling it Those Singing Drag Queens, and to some, the title might sound a little flip or even contradictory. No, I'm not talking about drag queens who lip-sync, because our culture has a long history of drag artists or female impersonators who did indeed do their own singing. Stick with me, and on tonight's show, we'll explore singing drag artists from the 20s up through the 80s, and we'll visit with one of the most renowned, who started performing before Stonewall and is still active. From Atlanta, we'll meet Diamond Lil. But I said I'll cover from the 1920s through the 1980s. That's just on this show, which is part one. Next month, I'll be back to cover the rest, about the last 15 to 20 years of drag artists who do their own singing. And I might as well mention this now. My regular listeners know that I generally have two versions of my show. One is tailored for airing on Queer Voices, meaning it's limited to about 58 minutes, but the version at my website does not have that time constraint. That allows me to give more extensive interviews and to play songs that, well, I just can't play on regular radio. Okay, that's enough introduction, and I've not told you yet who opened the show. I gave that honor to the drag artist who I consider to be the leader of the pack, Ray Bourbon. And his song, I Don't Want to Be a Madam, was recorded in 1957. I'll devote more time to Ray a little later, but I want to approach this subject roughly chronologically, so that takes us back to the early 20s. The earliest recording of a drag performer that I know of is from around 1922, and is by Ross Hamilton, who performed under the name of Marjorie. But I need to go back a few years earlier, to 1917, during World War I, when a group of Canadian soldiers stationed in France got together for a variety show, which led to forming a professional troupe. They named themselves the Dumbbells, after the logo for their military division, and had much success for over 10 years. Many of the individual members released solo recordings, on 78s of course, and in 1977 these were gathered together into an album, which is how I got the song by Ross Hamilton. Now remember, this recording is taken from a 78 RPM record, and is 84 years old. Here's Ross Hamilton, known as Marjorie, and a little of the song, Darling, I Love You. I'm A number of the artists you hear tonight are from England, like this next performer, who had a long career. Douglas Bing was one of the most popular variety and cabaret artists of the 20s and 30s, and a majority of his performances were in drag. This particular track, from 1932, is called At the Ball.
You'll never be ready for the ball, ma'am, and the master's downstairs getting so impatient.
Now don't fuss me, Annie. There's plenty of time, and I must sew these bugles on my bustle.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but it's Mafeking night.
Come along, Blanche. All this dilly-dallying is such tomfoolery. Oh, tut-tut-tut-tut. Why will the Colonel use such vulgar words?
I don't think he cares for parties, ma'am. Do you, ma'am?
Do I, Annie? Give me the chance to recapture romance. Give me a night of the ball. Give me the thrill of the waltz and quadrille. Music and lights that enthrall. Give me the fun when dressing's begun. Fires in the bedroom at four. Awful of verb in that pink satin merv. Only fate knows what's in store. Ah, there's the cab at the door. Oh, for a night in the ballroom. Oh, for the music so grand. Oh, for the palms and the parquet. Oh, for the strains of the band. Chaperones snoozing their sequins. Wallflowers wilt by the wall. But everyone there's put on clean underwear. All for the ball.
Douglas Bing from 1932. And like most of the artists on this show, in order to cover as many as possible, unfortunately, I will only be able to give you a taste of them, rather than play the whole songs, which in some cases you'll thank me. And here's another interesting female impersonator, Billy McAllister. He is probably more known for a comedy album released in 1972 called What a Big Piece of Meat. That was put out by producer Rudy Ray Moore, who found much success in the 70s by issuing very X-rated comedy recordings by himself and a stable of others. But I only recently discovered that Billy McAllister's career goes back 20 years earlier. In 1952, he recorded at least 4 songs for a Memphis label, and the song I picked is interesting because it obviously was recorded as a female impersonator, because it is sung to a man. Its title, 31E Blues, refers to his trip down Highway 31 to Nashville in search of his lover man.
Well, I'm on J31E, going down to Nashville, Tennessee. Well, I'm on J31E, going down to Nashville, Tennessee.
Billy McAllister from 1952, and I wish I had a lot more recordings by him. I introduced the show with Ray Bourbon, and now I'm going to tell you more about him. In my opinion, he was the leading drag artist of the early years. Yes, there were other famous performers I could mention, such as Charles Pierce, T.C. Jones, and Jim Bailey, and you'll hear about them a little later, but they only released 2 or 3 albums each. Ray Bourbon was many times more prolific. Starting in the mid-30s, he recorded about 40 78 RPM records, and in the 1950s and 60s released 11 LPs. I'm not sure that even RuPaul or Divine or other modern artists could match that, even in today's era of multiple CD singles. On some of Ray Bourbon's early 78s, he spelled his name R-A-Y, and then he switched it to R-A-E, and I'll explain that after I read something from his obituary. I've got a couple lines from the obituary that ran for him in Variety magazine. Bourbon died July 19, 1971. In addition to the facts of the obituary, you might notice the language of the way Variety magazine described Bourbon, and I quote, "Ray Bourbon, 78, cafe entertainer, died of a heart attack in the state hospital at Big Springs, Texas. He had been serving a life jail term as an accomplice in a 1968 murder stemming from a dispute over pet dogs. Bourbon, who did femme impersonations in vaudeville as well as sophisticated songs in niteries, played many rooms in New York and elsewhere. He came to the attention of Mae West, who cast him in two of her shows. At one time, in 1956, he sent out press releases stating that he had had a sex change operation." So says the obituary. But that last part was all hype. He didn't have an operation. It was rumors perpetuated by him, and he milked it. On one of his albums from around 1956, he even reproduced the newspaper articles that talked about him having a sex change. That album was even titled, "Let Me Tell You About My Operation." Bourbon, to say the least, was quite colorful. You'll hear his trademark laugh or giggle in this song. It's called "When I Said No to Joe." From the album I just mentioned, "Let Me Tell You About My Operation."
Now, I've turned down fortunes and I've done it with a smile. I've unsigned movie contracts I've dumped within my file. I've nixed plenty of offers for pleasure trips across the sea and many propositions that were coyly made to me. These things were never tough to shun. My dear, I know just what to forego. But the hardest thing I've ever done was when I said no to Joe. Now, he was very tall and handsome, just the answer to a prayer. My friends all thought me quite insane when I gave him the air. I'd always planned that we would marry, but my plans got quite a blow. For when he borrowed my mascara, that's when I said no to Joe. I've turned down swell apartments, a car, a chauffeur, and maid. Ermine coats, Caporelli gowns, those gifts I can evade. I've spurned the rings and other things that women always seem to wish. I've shook my head in calm disdain and left those tempters with a swish. I had my heart all set on a very old-fashioned bow. So the hardest thing I've ever done was when I said no to Joe. Oh, Joe was a gal's ideal, so very sweet and refined. He had a lot of sex appeal, and in these days that's hard to find. My dates with him became a fixture. The family knew he was my beau. But when I caught him kissing Tab Hunter's picture, that's when I said no to Joe, and meant it, Mary.
The incomparable Ray Bourbon. This next artist is T.C. Jones. He also was very popular in the 50s and 60s, appearing in a couple of Broadway revues, the most famous being The New Faces of 1952. That was the same show that gave Paul Lynde his start. Jones appeared in the movies Promises, Promises and the Monkees movie Head, and on television on Ed Sullivan, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and even on the Wild Wild West. He recorded two albums in the late 50s, called Mask and Gown and Himself, and both included Betty Davis impressions. From his 1959 album called Himself, you'll hear his version of Betty Davis singing the song Bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to present our impression of Miss Betty Davis as she walks down Lover's Lane, hand in hand with a wonderful, wonderful guy by the name of Bill. Now, I used to dream that I would discover a perfect lover someday. The wrong filter. I knew I'd recognize him if ever he came round my way. Now, I used to kind of fancy then he'd be one of those card-like kind of men with a giant brain and with a noble head, like the heroes bold in those books that I've read. But along came Bill. He was an ordinary guy. Now you meet him on the street, you never notice him. His form and face, his manly grace, they're not the kind that you'd find in a statue, and I can't explain. It's surely not his brain that makes me thrill 7-8. Now I love him because he's don't know. Because he's just my... Oh, what was his name again? Let's see, there was Tom, and there was George, and there was Paul, and there was Peter, and there was Re-Peter, and I was sick for a year. Of course. My bill at the end, finish, B-flat chord.
In 1960, Bobby Marchand had a number one R&B hit with the song There Is Something on Your Mind, and he had quite a colorful background. In 1953, he organized a troupe of female impersonators called the Powder Box Review. And when it was booked in New Orleans for a while, he decided to stay and worked in the clubs as a female impersonator, MC, and singer. He was signed to Ace Records and worked for a while with Huey Piano Smith, producing some of the finest New Orleans rock and roll. He recorded for various record labels through the 70s, but never matched his hit, There Is Something on Your Mind. The song I picked for you to hear by Bobby Marchand was his first success from 1956, an odd number called Chickie Wah Wah. Lyrically, you might first think, oh, this is a heterosexual song. But if you pay attention, you might wonder why he didn't seem to know how to react to that sweet little girl.
Chickie Wah Wah Wah.
Here's another singing drag queen, this time a very obscure one who moved from Canada to England in 1960 and did sort of a comedy opera style. Here's Jean Fredericks with an English music hall favorite, Nobody Loves a Fairy When She's 40.
For years a fairy queen I've been. For years I foiled that demon king. Alas, I'm getting on, the years have passed somehow, and I feel that fairy Snowdrop isn't wanted now. Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40. Nobody loves a fairy when she's old. They don't give you an earthly chance to make a livelihood. They're building modern cottages in my enchanted wood. When you can't cast a spell without its healing, and for years a fairy tale you haven't told, your fairy days are ending when your wand has started bending. No one loves a fairy when she's old.
Gene Frederiks had two recordings, both very rare. One was a 1964 album called Recitals Are a Drag, and the song I played came from what I believe was her only 45. A very popular drag queen in England in the 60s and 70s was Lee Sutton, and again, his act was more comedy than singing. But I found this song quite interesting. From his 1968 album, presenting Lee Sutton a near miss, here's The Lady is a Fake.
I wear a dress with the bristles sewn in. Boom, 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 boom. I sink a pint when I ought to sip gin. There's no flies on me, but you can see where they've been. And that's why the lady's a fake. Men try to date me, convinced I'm a dame. They take me swimming, it does seem a shame. We get undressed and we're both built the same. Snap! Except that I'm built bigger. That's why the lady's a fake. When I perform, I act like a professional. After the show, this hair ain't there. I hang it up while I'm having my break. You've got to bridge the gap sometimes, darling. That's why the lady's a fake. When people ask what undies I wear, I just declare at once, why France? They call me Miss, but it should be mistake. That's why the ladies fake. Let me repeat, things ain't what they seem. It's like a dream. In bed I'm Fred. I find it safer to stay wide awake. Don't call me madam, this is an Adam. That's why the ladies
right out of the horn's name. You charm the husk right off of the corn's name. You got the banjo strumming and plucking out a tune to beat the band. The whole plantation's humming since you brought Dixie back to Dixieland.
Following Lee Sutton was Danny LaRue from his 1970 album, Hello Danny. Now, LaRue is practically a national institution in England and has been in the business since the late 60s, and at age 78 is still performing. He's had many recordings, has been in movies, and has been a very active performer in nightclubs and West End shows. His recordings are all singing rather than including any comedy, and as you might have picked up from hearing a little of his version of Maine, his style was more in the English music hall mode. Back to America, and we're in the late 60s. And by now, I don't have to tell you that many of the singing drag queens would not have been accused of being singers. A very good example is one known just as Michelle, who had two albums, and the first was itself a rarity, a two-record set of a live performance called Ready or Not, It's Me. She followed up that album with one called It's Me Again, from around 1968. Which is where this song comes from, the non-melodic Why Am I So Lovely?
Why was I born so lovely? Fabulous face, figure of grace, a case of simple fact. My, oh my, I'm so lovely. I'm the ideal, what you call really snack. Whenever I go out walking, guys always whistle and stare, nudging each other and talking, gawking at my dairy.
and other points of interest. Why was I born so lovely? I may be quite the most delightful sight you'll ever see. Sweet as pie and so lovely. Heavens above, I'm such a lovely me.
Gee, I could listen to her, well, not very long. But let's reflect a moment. Michelle is about the first drag artist, at least who released recordings, who actually used a name that was decidedly female. Everyone else I've played have used male names. Or they used names that were neutral. Lee, Ray, Jean. For the most part, these names were their real names, and the artist didn't really feminize them in the early days. Perhaps they were maintaining the idea that this was an act rather than an identity. Or perhaps it was a little in reaction to the laws. In some places in the early years, it was illegal to perform in drag, so it may have been just less hassle to use a man's name. It was probably a combination of many factors. Now we're up to one of my favorites, Charles Pierce. Pierce was one of the most famous of the drag performers of our culture. In his act, he gave gleefully nasty impersonations of Betty Davis, Joan Crawford, Tallulah Bankhead, Mae West, Carol Channing, Katharine Hepburn, Gloria Swanson, Barbara Stanwyck, and many others. His mimicry was expert, and he coupled it with gaudy costumes and outrageous humor in a career that spanned 4 decades and included frequent television and movie appearances. He recorded 2 comedy albums in the 70s, and in 1983 his Legendary Ladies of the Silver Screen show was captured on video. While he did very little singing in his act, I could just not leave him out of this show, and found on one of his videos the perfect song. Here's Charles Pierce and Want to Buy an Illusion.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Our whole show has been an illusion, you know that. Just an illusion. Want to buy an illusion? Slightly used, secondhand. Such romantic illusions. Reaching high. Built on sand. They have a touch of paradise, a spell you can't explain. For in this crazy kind of paradise, you are in love again. Want to buy an illusion, slightly used, just like new. Such romantic illusions. They were done. Now they're through. We play them all for laughs. It was strictly entre-new. So take an illusion. All for fun and all just for you. I was married once. I'm one of the boys who's one of the girls. I wear my hair short, I wear it in curls. Hey, I can be campy, I can be straight. Shall we talk about that later in the dressing room? Sometimes I'm even my very own date. Not tonight, Charles. You have a headache. In spite of the dress, the finesse, and the poise, whee! I am one of the girls who's really one of the B-O-Y-S-G-I-R-L-S. Good night.
That was Charles Pierce. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of all the drag queens and their recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Another very popular illusionist was Jim Bailey, who's been performing since the early 70s in Las Vegas, on television and in the movies, and of course on record. His impressions were dead on, especially of Judy Garland and Barbra Streisand, as you'll hear in this short medley from his 1973 album, Live at Carnegie Hall.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you. And all the time you knew it. I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so bad. You made me silent. I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I think you're grand. That's true. Yes, I do. Indeed, I do. You know I do. I can't tell you what I'm feeling. The very mention of your name sends my heart reeling. You know you made me love you.
What? I shall now walk to the piano. Wow, that was a long walk, wasn't it? Father has a business, strictly secondhand. Everything from toothpicks to a baby grand. Stuff in our apartment came from Father's store. Even clothes I'm wearing, someone wore before. Not this one. Now it's no wonder that I feel abused. Well, I never get a thing what ain't been used. I'm wearing second-hand hats, second-hand bows. That's why they call me second-hand Rose. Even my pajamas when I don them got somebody else's initials on them. Second-hand hats. I'm sick of wearing second-hand hats. I never get what other girlies do. Once while strolling through the Ritz, a girl got my goat. She nudged her friend and said, "Hey, Seal, there goes my own fur coat." Well, everyone knows that I'm just second-hand Rose from Second Avenue.
That I once couldn't see beyond my kitchen sink. But I'm still in, I'm still the same as I always was. And just because I'm famous and I'm a star in Shakespeare, I'm still the same girl that I was before Gough Whitlam made me a dame. I'll see you in a minute. Bye bye. I'm glad I came. At least I can say that I've seen it as a superstar, a mother and a wife. And I hope that I pass muster when my grandchildren cluster around to hear the story of my life. When my husband Norm had his op, I was caught on the hop, and a doctor asked me which organ he could spare. I looked down on the man I'd nursed, and I said, "Don't go too far, but if you have to do your worst, can I have it in a jar?"
seen it. At least I can say it was there. Yes, at least I can say long ago and far away. I was there.
The unmistakable Dame Edna. Barry Humphries first found success in his native Australia, where he created the character Edna Everidge in 1956. That role has served him well in the theater, television, and on film. One of the earliest of his shows to make it to vinyl in 1976 was Housewife Superstar, from where I got the song you just heard called Here I Am. And I should add that Humphries is one of the very few heterosexuals to appear on this show. And here's some more trivia. The country of Australia has just released a series of postage stamps featuring his picture, which has got to be some sort of first for a drag artist. In 1977, a movie came out named Outrageous, starring Canadian female impersonator Craig Russell, and 10 years later, it even had a sequel, Too Outrageous. Russell was one of the major female impersonators of the 70s and 80s, and did remarkable impressions of female stars. He was well known for doing Judy Garland and Barbra Streisand, and Mae West. But I thought I would give you a taste of his Carol Channing with a dash of Marlena Dietrich and Ethel Merman.
Let's be frank. Well, frankly, I'd rather be Carol Channing.
A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the automat. Now that's my battle hymn of the Republic. I've been doing that song now for over 25 years, and it's almost perfect. Who in the world could ever replace me as Lorelei Lee? Well, if gentlemen prefer blondes, why not the eternal Marlene Dietrich?
Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end. But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Oh, dear. Oh, that song is not for Marlena. It was written for a trumpet, not a bass fiddle. Let's try Ethel Merman.
Some men buy and some men sigh that to make you their bride they intend. But liars are liars, they're such goddamn liars. Diamonds are a girl's best
friend. Well, thanks, girls, for proving there's only one Lorelei Lee, and that's me.
Time rolls on, and youth is fun, and you can straighten up when you bend. But stiff back or stiff knees, you stand straight at stiff knees. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. I don't mean I don't. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
This is Diamond Lil. You're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
One of the natural hazards of doing a history show, especially since this is part one of the story, is that most of the artists are no longer with us. But I am very pleased to bring you an interview with an artist who started performing drag before Stonewall and is still active today. She's a true Atlanta legend, and her name is Diamond Lil. And she stood apart from the other Atlanta drag queens in the early days because she didn't lip sync. She did her own singing, as you'll hear in this short introduction to her style.
Left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. But I never lost 1 minute of sleeping, worrying about the way things might have been. I think we'll keep on turning, proud Mary, keep on burning. Rolling, yeah, rolling on the river. I pushed a lot of plates in Memphis. I pumped a lot of gas in New Orleans. But I never saw the bright lights of the city until I hitched a ride on the Riverboat Queen. The big wheel keep on turning, proud Mary keep on burning. Rolling.
Where did you grow up?
Grew up in Savannah, Georgia, land of the oleanders and the wisteria, the Spanish moss.
When did you start performing for people in drag?
I did at little parties. You know, people would have little parties and stuff, and little cocktail parties, and I would do songs. So I danced with soldiers and sailors. They loved it.
Were you lip-syncing then?
Mostly dancing, mostly just dance music.
And you progressed to lip-syncing then?
Oh, yes, I did that. And I also did a few things with live piano. There was a club that had live piano, you know, that had guest singers here and there. I did some guest spots there. Not a whole lot, because in early days, you know, drag was on the blue laws. As, you know, you could get arrested for that, for being a drag. So, you know, folks just didn't do drag much. I could paint up a little bit, you know, put a little lip rouge on and a little eyebrow pencil and stuff, but basically not full drag or something, a little bit of paint.
How did you get the name Diamond Lil?
In the olden years, you know, drag queens had to go with men's names. Like Ray Bourbon was R-A-Y Bourbon. And then when he supposedly had that sex change in Mexico, which was all fake, I changed to R-A-E, Ray Bourbon, R-A-E. Well, he told me all that and had those fake papers where he could play cities like Atlanta that didn't allow drag. So he claimed he was a woman. And then Charles Pierce, that's how he got his name, Charles, and T.C. Jones, Charles Pierce, and, you know, others. So I went to Columbus, Ohio, and came up with the name Leslie Diamond. Well, Leslie's a crossover name. It's be a man or a woman. So I used that in Columbus, Ohio. I came back to Atlanta after I did that stint there. And I got hired here at one of the clubs. And the owner said, well, what is your name? How do I announce you? I said, well, I don't know. I said, people just know me as Lil all over Atlanta. And I said, that's kind of silly. I don't have a, and I don't want to use Leslie Diamond. I'm through with that name. And he said, well, you're on. What am I to say? Just Lil or what? And I said, what about Diamond Lil? Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Diamond Lil. And at that time, I really hadn't paid much attention to Mae West, by the way, because she was, you know, popular in the 20s. She was way before my time and so forth. And I didn't know that she had written a play entitled Diamond Lil. But she had. I'm sure you've heard of it. So I didn't even know that until, well, I'd say 2-3 years later. I said, oh, Jesus, people are going to think you stole it from me. And I said, well, no, you didn't. I said, you got it erroneously. And to hell with it, you've already got it.
Well, I try not to get too deep into an interview without hearing some more music. So could you please tell me about the song Love Generator?
Love Generator is the weirdest thing that has ever happened in show business. Love Generator was supposed to have been Cabbage Town Katie. All right. Well, we got into the studio, and I got this producer. Well, the producer, which I didn't know, wanted to do his own thing. So he began saying, well, you need to straighten out this track. And he said, well, let's change this track, get rid of that, and put a hot guitar on this one. Oh, well, let's put maybe some electric piano on this other track. By the time I turned around, the whole concept was changed. And when they played it back, it had nothing to do with Cabbage Town. Okay, when the tracks got changed, I said, this has nothing to do with Cabbage Town. It won't work. You've got all this money put in it. You've got to do another song. So I sat down. I said, what the hell can you do with this track? So up come Love Generator. And I don't know where it came from.
There are two versions of that song also.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened is, once again, the studio took so long, and I said, since you're going to put out an LP and you're out of money, I said, use the same track and make it a comedy version between Betty Davis, Mae West, Lula Bankhead, and Katharine Hepburn, and let them be at a party and let them, you know, just be talking to one another. And so what it is, you know, I changed the different voices, which I really didn't rehearse that well, and make it a sort of comedy. And lo and behold, if a lot of people don't really like that version a lot, they really do.
Tallulah, do you think an established star could do a disco?
Oh, damn you, Betty. Haven't you done it all, darling?
Bitch! What do you think I invited you here for? Come in.
Now, girls, please, can't we be ladies?
Okay, let's just go now.
With your red hot flare, I'd love to kiss you, but I just washed my hair. Get me out of this dump with your big regulator. Burn my fuse with your love generator.
Crank this engine, darling. Get it ready to drive. Turn on your switch, darling. Make it come alive. Ooh, let it ooze your love infiltrator. Burn my fuse now, love generator.
Generator.
Regulator, darlings.
Oh, alternator.
Your flagellator.
Penetrator.
Infiltrator, darling.
Oh, accelerator.
Please call my name.
Generator.
Regulator, darling.
Oh, alternator.
Flagellator.
Penetrator.
Infiltrator, darling, no.
Oh, accelerator.
Please call my major.
Love machine. Love generator. Baby, just twisting your key. Causes combustion to me. Steaming sparks fly. Blings, pistons roll. Drag me high and singe my soul.
The lilacs all in bloom again. It was a bastion and violet again. Damn it, don't say you love me, darlings. Say I'm beautiful. Really, girls, we must stop all of this.
How did you move from lip syncing to real singing?
Because the jealous queen kept voting me off stage. You know, they gradually got more and more people on the stage, you know, so the, where they had like 10 different performers. I started it, the whole kit caboodle. I started it. And they expanded it because more and more people wanted to join in. And so the owner of the club kept adding more and more to the cast. And the cast decided they didn't like me because I was very, very good with what I did. So they were jealous and they didn't like that. So they would begin to just vote me off the stage and go to the owner and say, get Dime a little off the stage. We won't work. And, of course, the owners, being so namby-pamby, would kind of go along with them and tell me, oh, well, don't come in, and we're having some disharmony with the other entertainers and this, that, and the other. And they did me that way all over town, and I said, well, the hell with them. I said, I'll just get me a band. But I'll just put a little ad in the paper and just drum up a band.
I'm getting to the end of part one of my special two-part show, Those Singing Drag Queens. And I admit, it's been one of my more ambitious projects for Queer Music Heritage, trying to do justice to about 80 years of performing drag artists. I know that in no way could I cover them all, even in two radio shows. Fortunately, I've got a huge website that allows me to upload extended versions of my show, where my internet listeners can hear more of the comments by Diamond Lil and many more artists. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. For tonight's show, I want to thank you all for listening, and I especially want to thank Diamond Lil for the wonderful interview. And I also want to thank her for providing me with a whole slew of memorabilia, which you can see at my site. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT Houston. And I'd like to remind you that you can hear part two of Those Singing Drag Queens next month on April 24th. And I'll cover the last 20 years of performing drag artists. And there'll be lots of dance music. And now for one last visit with Diamond Lil to ask her about our closing song. I've saved my favorite song of yours to ask about for last. Can you please tell me about the song Silver Grill Blues?
Silver Grill Blues, that's a restaurant that's been here since 1945. And on that album, I go into this long rap that sort of describes it, you know, being a little whitewashed concrete block diner. And it's kind of a greasy spoon type thing. So it just dawned on me one day to write a song about it. I was never really a songwriter. So that's how the song developed. And then I had some bands at the time, different ones and all, and then we sort of just developed the song. And I would sing it at all of my live performances. I consequently made the Silver Grill extremely popular, because every time I did the song, it would send hordes of people over there to eat their chicken.
You have more than one version of that song.
Yes, I do. What happened to that version is it took so damn long in the studio. The first cut on that album is the original cut, but it took so long in the studio to hone it down and to get it done, and oh, it's driving me nuts. It was to come out on a 45, it was to be Silver Grill on one side, and on the other side was supposed to be Cabbage Town Katie. And so after it took so long, I began to decide, I said, well, why don't you just put out an LP? So in doing that, I said, well, you could use another version of Silver Grill and include a trucker and a waitress and make it a little bit more comedy. So that version came out, and people liked that one a lot, too.
Is that your most popular song?
Oh, yeah. But I would love to become known by another song, because the Silver Grill has not given me a chicken wing or a gizzard or a cup of coffee or a damn thing.
Thank you, sir. And here's your half fry to go.
You think they'd have a place for a lonesome dude to sit in this here truck stop?
Well, now, here's one last stool right here next to this painted leg woman.
What's the likes of a beautiful young thing doing sitting here all by your little lonesome?
Oh, I was just thinking about maybe some nice chicken.
Clover Sue! And order coleslaw to go!
Say, sweet thing, how about you and me making a little time together?
The only thing I have for you, Buster, would be time to kiss off.
You and me can go out and drink a little white wine in the truck.
Hurry up with that coleslaw!
Oh, I'm so hungry. So very hungry. I want some. Oh, oh,
off of them breasts and put your fire.
We don't serve special parts here.
I would certainly think not.
How specialty? Tender southern chicken.
Say, precious darling, what is your name?
You can call me Lil.
Yeah, and I bet that's short for Lily Mae.
I would never be that common. It's an abbreviation for Jillian.
Don't you want to have a good old time with me?
No, I don't think so. I just want my... silver grill chicken.
Yeah, it's a $3 meal and a quarter.
Lots of...